Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Brian Kilmeade Show. We're going to take a step away from politics for a second and welcome in Callie Means, co-founder of TrueMed Payments and co-author of the brand new book, Good Energy, The Surprising Connection Between Metabolism and Limitless Health. And Callie, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
First off, what prompted you to look into health and the food industry and how they're related to and how they might be in bed together?
Yeah. So my co-author is my sister, and my sister at Stanford Med School did not take one course on nutrition. She figured out that actually 80% of the entire course was on pharmacology, and the majority of Stanford Med School, Harvard Med School's budget comes from pharma. I used to work for the food and pharma industry and actually saw these descendants up close. And what we've put together is a very simple economic fact. It's not conspiratorial. It's a simple statement of economic fact, is that the largest industry in the country, the healthcare industry, they make money when your kid is sick, depressed, infertile. They make money by treating those conditions and managing those conditions, and they lose money when we learn metabolic habits, when we learn the basics and get out of that chronic disease treadmill.
So instead of you're saying medicine solving those problems, they're creating those problems to solve and make money.
9 out of 10 deaths, leading causes of death in America, are preventable lifestyle conditions. 95% of all medical spending is on completely preventable chronic conditions. If you have an acute issue, if you have a gunshot wound, burst appendix, complicated childbirth, infection, go to the doctor. Absolutely. That's 5% of medical spending. Chronic disease is the greatest profit-generating mechanism in modern history. And this amoeba of the healthcare system, again, our largest industry and fastest growing, is predicated on us getting more chronic diseases. That's just the simple economic fact.
So you mean major food companies, the Procter & Gamble, the General Mills, they're in bed meeting with the medical associations in order to do this?
They actually literally are. So working for the food companies as a lobbyist and the pharma industry, I actually brokered payments between Coke and the American Diabetes Association. The American Diabetes Association, which sets the standard of care for diabetes management in this country, which is a scourge and really underpinning all other chronic conditions, accepts millions of dollars from diabetes water, from Coca-Cola. They should be shouting from the rooftop about the fact that kids are ingesting 100 times more sugar than they did 100 years ago. The reason we're getting sicker, more depressed, more infertile isn't complicated. It's because of our broken food system. This is unique in America. In Japan, the childhood obesity rate is 3%. Here it's upwards of 25%.
And it's not, you don't think it's because more our kids are less active?
Absolutely, a sedentary lifestyle, which we incentivize too, is a huge problem. The book is about the underpinnings of metabolic health, which is simple. It's our diet, it's environmental toxins, it's sleep, it's exercise, it's the basics. But working for the food companies, I also help steer money to exercise groups to distract the issue. Michelle Obama talked about food in the first year when she was on this campaign in the White House, which was right, but she actually got paid off by the food industry to start talking about exercise. We should not be distracted. Our food system is compromised, and not only is our medical system silent on the reason we're getting sick, and they're overcomplicating the reason we're getting sick, and if you have diabetes, heart disease, depression, other comorbidities, you're going to see multiple doctors for multiple treatment plans on those. This is what the book's about. This is the most important issue in our country, which I think does tie to politics, because we're going to lose our human capital, and we're going to go bankrupt from this. Chronic diseases are interrelated, and that simplicity is ignored by our medical system because it's profitable to keep people sick and manage the condition.
And would you say also it's cheaper to get the food that's bad for you when you got to go out of your way and pay more for the food that's good for you?
Let's break this down. On the food side, it makes sense. It's in their interest to keep food cheap and keep it addictive. There's been a complete crony capitalist takeover of our regulatory agencies. The USDA that makes our nutrition guidelines for kids, 95% of the USDA panel was paid off for by food companies, which is just hard to even fathom.
What do you mean by paid off?
Like the direct contributions, not research grants, but actually direct consulting payments. 95% of the USDA panel received direct consulting payments from processed food companies and or pharmaceutical companies.
Well, wouldn't you want the USDA to be, if you're creating a food that you want mass produced, wouldn't you want the USDA to support it? So wouldn't you go out of your way to have them approve it? Hey, I'm working on this. I'm working on that.
USDA, this is not political. This is not even getting into policy. The USDA that makes the guidelines for food that go to our kids should be following the science, should be uncorrupted. They should not be taking money from Coca-Cola. They should not be taking money from Kraft, okay? They have taken that money. They're directly paid off. I helped do it. And the guidelines we exist under today say that a two-year-old should have 10% of their diet as added sugar, a two-year-old, when we have a metabolic health crisis among children, and 33% of young adults have pre-diabetes right now, 50% of young adults are overweight or obese, and we have the panel that is making our medical guidelines saying that they two-year-olds should be eating sugar, added sugar. It's inconscionable.
So let me ask you, when did this relationship first start?
But the devil's bargain between food and pharma? It started actually in 1960 with the invention of the birth control pill. The birth control pill was the first drug in American history that you didn't stop taking after you were cured of the condition. And there's documentation of this. The pharmaceutical industry taking a lot of trust of science with antibiotics and some medical innovations helping to win World War II. They said, we can take that trust. And this is documented. And they said, we're going to now invent chronic conditions. What a goldmine. You can take a pill for your entire life. You don't get cured. And now what do we have? We have statins, one of the most prescribed drugs in the country. The more statins are prescribed, the more heart disease goes up. The more metformin is prescribed, 100 million plus prescriptions of that, the more diabetes goes up. The more antidepressants are prescribed. 25% of women in the United States are on an antidepressant. The more suicide and depressions goes up. There has never been a chronic disease pharmaceutical treatment that has lower rates of the chronic disease trying to treat. And this is amazing because people just keep racking on the comorbidities and racking on the interventions.
So Callie Means, our guest, Good Energy, the book, The Surprising Connection Between Metabolism and Limitless Health. So Callie, you realize how many people would have to have this evil intention for this to come off? I mean, think about what doctor would go to sleep at night saying, oh, okay, I just got a drug. I'm going to get a percentage of money from a drug because someone's has a chronic disease, which I help create.
This is not about intentions. To understand a system, don't look at what people say. Don't even look at what individuals think. Look at what the system does. It is a completely unemotional statement of economic fact that the healthcare industry growth is predicated on more kids getting sicker earlier and staying sick. The industry just fundamentally makes money from managing interventions on people that are sick. And when you have the largest industry in the country that's fundamentally incentivized for more Americans to get sick, that's what happens. The brilliance and this is what we unpack in the book and what has really taken me a long time to understand. The genius of the institutional design of our healthcare system is that it takes good people. It takes my sister who got into this for the right reasons. All doctors do. They can make money in easier ways. It saddles them with debt. And now the highest suicide rate and the highest burnout rate of any profession is among doctors. They understand they are trapped in a sick system. I absolutely believe that cardiologists want to cure and snap their fingers and cure the world of heart disease, that hormone doctors want to cure the world of diabetes, that obesity doctors now want to cure the world of obesity. But their job and their employment is predicated on more people getting sick. That is just a fact.
What do you think about Ozempic?
So Ozempic is a great example.
And all the other drugs like that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really important to go into specifics. Ozempic, I believe, is one of the biggest issues in the country, and here's why. The American Academy of Pediatrics, which is a fully funded subsidiary of pharma but sets the standard of care for pediatric care, recently said that this should be the first line defense for any obese or overweight 12-year-old. That's 50% of 12-year-olds. I have a message to every parent listening. If your child is the median 12-year-old who's overweight or obese, they're going to be pushed Ozempic, which is a lifetime drug with just demonstrably the highest side effects of any wide-scale drug approved in modern American history. 50% of people go off because of severe vomiting or nausea, which clearly means there's other things going on.
So 50% of people who get on Ozempic get off because you feel so terrible.
It's the worst and most pronounced side effects of a drug in modern American history that's been widely prescribed. Yes, it is causing unknown gastrointestinal issues that are leading to severe nausea and vomiting. It has a black box warning for cancer. There's an EU investigation into suicidal ideation.
What's a black box warning mean?
Black box warning means the most serious warning the FDA can give on thyroid cancer because it causes such hormone disruption. It is, there's large scale investigations in the EU, its home area. This is a company from Denmark. On suicidal ideation, which makes sense, Brian. Our medical system doesn't realize the interconnectivity, but 95% of our serotonin, which regulates our contentment and mood, is produced in the gut, not the brain. And Ozempic is gut dysfunction. That's what it causes. That's the effect of drugs. There's serious side effects. This is being rushed because it's a lifetime drug, and it's being pushed now on 12-year-olds. The key question with Ozempic is if we have an obesity crisis where 80% of American adults and 50% of young adults are overweight or obese, is this because of an Ozempic deficiency, or is this because we're uniquely poisoning our population in America? This should not be the standard of care.
So Callie Means was helping us out there. Casey is the doctor and the sister of Callie. Such an impressive book. So many questions need to be answered. He's so bold and smart. And they both, by the way, look extremely healthy. When we come back, let's talk about with Callie about the side effects and dangers of Ozempic. Listen up, everybody. You'll need to hear it. You're listening to The Brian Kilmeade Show.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Out of the gates and ready to go. Hey, it's Hutton Withrow. Hot Mike is here on the Outkick Network. We've got your afternoon covered with the latest sports discussion, and it's available wherever you find your audio.
Daily analysis and news. He is hot. I am Mike. Actually, my name is Chad. His name is Jonathan. But you get the picture. We're going to bring it every single day. Whatever you want to call us, we'll respond to. We just want you to respond to what we're dishing out every day.
And while you're here, we hope you subscribe to the podcast, like, subscribe, and share.
Welcome back, everybody. It's time for part two of a book you need to hear about that you probably heard some buzz about. And the name of the book is Good Energy. Callie Means is my guest. And I spoke to Callie late last week because they were in town about him and his sister, how this whole book came to be. And now his sister going through medical school realized there was something seriously wrong about the medical profession. So she tried to change it. They've created a brand new company. But here we talk about the rage in this country, and that's Ozempic. It's the end of obesity, they claim. But is there a downside? They say absolutely. Here is more of my interview with Callie Means on The Brian Kilmeade Show.
You also write that muscle depletion is real. And the only way to avoid the muscle depletion is have a high protein diet, low fat, which, by the way, if you have that, you're going to lose weight anyway.
This is a game, you know, and I know you had some other guests on who are writing books. We don't need a book on this. We don't need a long diatribe on this to make money from the Ozempic craze. We need to speak in very plain facts. Any doctor, actually, if they're pushed, will tell you, and they actually say this and they guide this. You are going to have severe muscle loss issues if you don't work out 5 times a week with strength training and shift your diet to a low ultra-processed food, high-protein diet. My point, what we're doing with this book, which is resonating, it's now the number one book on Amazon, which we're really excited about, and this message of empowerment really is resonating. What I'm doing with my company, TrueMed, which actually incentivizes with medical dollars, food, and exercise, doctors could be writing a letter of medical necessity, actually guiding the patients to keto diets, to exercise. We can actually be shifting the $4.5 trillion when somebody's pre-diabetic or obese to those things. The American people don't want to be fat, sick, depressed, infertile, which is also happening to an astounding degree. They don't want this. My mom didn't want to get cancer and die and not meet
her grandkids. Was she not eating well?
My mom was on the standard American food pyramid diet. She was the standard American patient. For 40 years, there were warning signs. Slightly high cholesterol, that's normal. Take the statin. Pre-diabetes, like 60% of people her age. Oh, that's normal. Take the metformin. Slightly high blood pressure. Oh, that's normal. Take the ACE inhibitor. She had these checks that the average American goes on throughout their life where it's, oh, no, it's no problem. That's normal. That's average for people your age. Take the pill. If once her doctor sat her down and explained that pancreatic cancer, which she eventually got, is as highly tied to prediabetes and blood sugar dysregulation as smoking is to lung cancer. Cancer is not a random occurrence. It's highly tied to our diet. It's highly tied to metabolic health. If she was explained and incentivized and educated on really reversing these conditions with basic metabolic habits, she'd still be here. But she, just months before her cancer diagnosis, was told by our primary care provider that she was healthy for her age. On 5 medications, she was actually on less amount of medications than the average 70-year-old. She was actually a healthy patient. Life expectancy right now, Brian, is declining for the most sustained period since 1860. This year in 2024, we have the highest rates of cancer, highest rates of diabetes, highest rates of heart disease, highest rates of autism, autoimmune conditions. Go down the list of any condition ever in American history. Every single chronic condition is at an all-time high this year. Something is going very wrong. And the problem with Ozempic, again, this is very simple. Are we going to look at this devastation happening, particularly to kids? And are we going to drug kids for life with this poison, literal poison, that you have to stay on forever? Or are we going to finally ask, as America, and it's uniquely in America, they're not prescribing Ozempic as the standard of care in their home country, in Denmark. If you have prediabetes, you actually get a government-subsidized medical keto diet. They actually pay you to exercise These are just rational policies that anyone could create to actually attack the root cause. But again, I cannot stress this enough. Every lever of the healthcare system is geared to making people sick. The other thing we talk about in the book, you just look at the money. Pharma pays 5 times more political donations than the oil industry. Pharma is, you know, funds a lot of the media. Pharma funds a lot of these interest groups like the NAACP, actually, that's calling anyone that criticizes Ozempic racist right now. The NAACP is a registered lobbyist for the maker of Ozempic to say it's a civil rights issue that we have to have government sponsored.
Why, is there a sense that there's obesity is large in the black community?
Oh, it's,
is that,
yeah,
how do they rationalize that?
Yeah, well, this is just the playbook. This is what I did. I helped Coke pay the NAACP 10 years ago to say that taking soda off of food stamps, it's the number one item on food stamps, that it was racist to deny choice to lower income people. This is the playbook, as we all know, and there's nobody better than the food and farm industries. You call people racist, you call people sexist, and these groups like the NAACP, unfortunately.
Have you felt backlash as you wrote your book? And now that it's out and doing well, good energy?
When my mom, literally, as we buried her, the 12 days, but 13 days before her diagnosis and her death, was transformational for my sister and I. We really saw, and a lot of these pieces came together from our two careers, and we really feel like we're carrying on her memory and trying to prevent, again, the many, many people listening here who are probably on that chronic disease pharmaceutical treadmill. We can get off that path. There is a better way.
Where do you go? Do you provide that better way? What are some tips we can leave some people with to start getting control of their diet?
If you have an acute issue, if you have an infection or something that's going to kill you right away, listen to the medical system. If you have a chronic condition or your kid has a chronic condition, they're trying to put your kid on a statin, metformin, any of these drugs that are doubling rates of the prescriptions among teens in the past 5 years, do not trust your doctor. It's just that simple. The doctor, any doctor, good doctor, should be writing a intervention for basic things, for exercise interventions, for sleep, which is down 25% in the past 100 years, and for food.
And where do you shop?
What's up?
Where should you shop?
You should be avoiding 3 ingredients, highly processed grains, sugar, and seed oils. You should be scouring your labels for that. In Japan and some European countries, the ultra-processed food consumption, things in a box, is 20 to 30%. Here it's 70%. If you can just simply cut those ingredients, which by definition cuts ultra-processed food, you are on a great path.
Food in a box. Avoid it.
100%.
Cereal.
I am engaged in a legal action against Kellogg. They actually reformulate their cereal with different ingredients for Americans because our regulations are so bought off. They contain artificial dyes, which they don't contain in any other country, which are one of the most known links to ADHD, these dyes that they include in their cereal. Absolutely avoid that. The grains in the United States are highly problematic. These ultra-processed frankenfoods that are sprayed with glyphosate and other chemicals that are banned in almost every other country. It's just weaponized fundamentally to make us want to eat more. And I'm really concerned about the chemicals on these foods, which are disrupting our gut bacteria and just causing this host of issues.
But all this stuff is in Good Energy, your brand new book.
We outline the problem, and through my sister's genius, who's a leading metabolic health doctor, we have an actionable plan. We've got to have a bottoms-up revolution.
Right.
Brian, I'm also engaged with a lot of great people and companies to lobby. We're working with across the aisle, frankly. This, you see President Trump talking about this, RFK talking about this. This issue of kids getting sick and then being drugged is I think, becoming one of the defining issues in our country.
All right. Name of the book is Good Energy, The Surprising Connection Between Metabolism and Limitless Health. Callie Means, congratulations on doing it, and to your sister.
Thank you, sir.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.